B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
This week we have thoughts on the passing of Mean Gene Okerlund. All Elite Wrestling is now officially a thing. We are the authority when it comes to WWE programming. And there's some good Kenny Omega gossip out there that we will jump into. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports, including Over Under 985. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Make sure you're listening to the Gamble Podcast. That's Over Under with Dan Lifshatz and Joey Murr. There you go, Mike. I'm putting somebody else over.
I like that, Jimmy.
All podcasts are available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike, I generally don't like to start the show on a down note, but the passing of WWE Hall of Famer Mean Gene Okerlund is the lead story this week. Mean Gene will go down in history as the greatest standing announcer ever in pro wrestling. His career started in the AWA in the 70s, then went to WWF, then to WCW. He was great at everything he had done, play-by-play, standing announcing, event centers, all of that stuff. And to me, the one time that I met him, which I believe was in Orlando, he was a first-class gentleman, someone who treated me like we had been friends for years. I put a few of my favorite moments on Twitter. He's an iconic figure that won't ever be duplicated in pro wrestling, mainly because of his talent, but also the way that television is produced this way. It's just very different. And really the key with Mean Gene is he had instincts for the moment. And it's something we talked about also earlier about what gifts we would give to Vince McMahon. Mean Gene had emotion. You felt with him. You knew you felt like he was a fan who was invested in the product. And that's something that also isn't allowed. Watch his post-match promo with Hogan, Hall, Nash, and their heel turn at the Bash 96. How he saw all the trash in the ring and said, Hulk Hogan, this trash, you know, is how the fans feel about you. Hulk Hogan followed him, turned it into one of the better lines going. In a similar way, watch the emotion that Mean Gene has at Starrcade 93 with Ric Flair. Ric Flair's career is on the line against Vader in his hometown of Greensboro, world title on the line. That whole scene where they opened up Starrcade 93 with Ric Flair and Mean Gene getting into the limo and just the serious tone of it. It's on my Twitter page. Both those moments are on my Twitter page. It's a missing part of pro wrestling that we've discussed. Announcers being fans and less produced.
Yeah, I mean, you know what, Jimmy? That was a shock and a tough way to start 2019. Like you said, don't want to start anything off on a sour note, but it was a rough one for me personally, too. You know, and I'm glad you said that with announcers, like, kind of being related to as fans and just being more personal and having fun. One of the videos that stood out for me was when he was training in the Minnesota stadium with Hulk Hogan. And here's Hogan kicking Gene's ass physically, getting him into shape. It was hysterical. Another one I love, he and Bobby the Brain Heenan playing golf at the country club there. And Heenan is, you know, he's faking his putts and the, you know, his shots out of the sand. And Gene's like, hey, well, wait a minute, Bobby. That's not in, you know, without Gene looking, Bobby Heenan is throwing the ball into the green. And it was just awesome stuff. Hysterical, real life scenarios, character, the way he was able to make everybody so much better on the microphone and just give him the chance. And he had that charisma. I heard Bruce Pritchard in Conrad Thompson's podcast, Tribute to Mean Gene, this week. And, you know, I think Bruce hit the nail on the head. It's something that I actually thought of right after Gene died, that, yeah, he was a salesman. Yes, he did do sales for an ad agency for television, but Gene, for the fan, he would always be up there at the event center and saying, don't forget, call your local cable provider today. Don't waste time. Order WrestleMania next Sunday only on pay-per-view. He always had that way to grab you and sell the product for WWF. And you know what? He was just a real gentleman. When I met him 3 years ago in Dallas, it meant a lot for me to tell him, Gene, you're one of my idols. There were three people I really wanted to meet at that WrestleCon. It was Bobby Heenan, who's now deceased, Mean Gene Okerlund, and the Iron Sheik, and I was able to do those right there. But a quick side story with Gene, a friend of mine who I think you met in that group there, his name was Bobby Lefebvre. He was with us. He took the photos for me with Gene and I, and Gene said, who do I make the autograph out to? And I said, oh, you can make it out to Mike. And Bobby said, no, have him make it out to Sarge. I'm like, okay, fine. So Gene said, how'd you get the nickname Sarge? And I gave him the whole story. And he goes, well, I used to work in radio too. So as I am just leaving the table, Gene grabbed me real quick, and he said, hey, Sarge, if I give you a $10 bill, can you go grab me a coffee? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And he said, get whatever you want. I keep the change. And I said, oh, no problem. Get back 10 minutes later. He goes, geez, Sarge, that took a while to get the coffee. I said, well, Gene, it was too hot. I didn't want it to burn your lips. I knew you had a lot of talking to do. So that was a cool highlight for me, buying Mean Gene a coffee at WrestleCon in Dallas. Stand-up guy, he was the definition of a pro's pro.
And one important thing is, as a producer, as a radio producer, I jokingly years ago said, well, I enhance talent, right? That's kind of the job of it. Mean Gene will go down as one of the great talent enhancers of all time. Mean Gene helped sell a lot of tickets for a lot of wrestling shows. And without Mean Gene Okerlund, there are probably some interviews that don't go as well as they do. And that is important. And Mean Gene Okerlund will go down as a classic and the greatest, in my opinion, the greatest standing announcer that there ever was.
And you know, the big thing with him, his name was associated with interviews. Well, let me tell you something, Mean Gene. Mean, woo, by God, Gene. Okay? It is associated with the character who he interviewed, Gene Mean, the Iron Sheik, we knew that. All of those things, and that says a lot. When you have that nickname, when you have that chance to have that out there, you've obviously made it, and you've cemented yourself as the greatest ever.
And just a closing thought is, I never heard a bad word about Mean Gene.
Sam.
Never, not once.
Sam.
And that's a tribute to him, not only the on-air talent, but also the behind-the-scenes person.
Yeah, exactly. And a real gentleman.
First-class individual. Mike, you changed my format with a text that you sent me 90 minutes before this recording of a podcast. So you have some Kenny Omega gossip. So, Mike, the floor is yours.
So, as we know, Kenny Omega was just at Wrestle Kingdom on Friday and dropped the title.
It's a championship, damn it.
Title, championship. I got to get that clear after those tweets this week. Everyone wants my belt and my titles, and it can happen.
Championship.
Get it? All right, fine. Championship or title, the same thing. But Kenny Omega, from what I was told from a reliable source before Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, by the way, Mike, I don't care if your source is reliable or not. As long as it's good gossip, we'll go with it.
Oh, yeah. No, totally.
One source, half a source, partial story. I'm in for all of it.
All right. Well, before Wrestle Kingdom, he was offered a 5-year deal from WWE, $25 million. That was before Wrestle Kingdom. After Kenny Omega dropped the title, the championship at Wrestle Kingdom, 5 years, $28 million. So, talking
5 years, $28 million
after he dropped the title.
Okay, so continue, because I have a lot of thoughts on this. Go ahead.
Oh, and the other thing too, that what the source and I were talking about, it almost puts Kenny between a rock and a hard place. How do you turn down that money? And now with the new AEW being friends with Cody and having an allegiance to those guys, how do you kind of, you know, not sign on with them? And then also, he's not getting any younger. So it's reminiscent to a scenario with, I don't know the whole dollar figure what AJ Styles is getting, but it's almost in that same age range there of he and AJ.
Kenny Omega is 35 years old.
Okay. So
AJ Styles, I believe, is 41 years old.
And he signed on 3 years ago.
And he signed on 3 years ago.
So, okay, 35, you're not a spring chicken anymore. We know that. But you are in that, this is your last big contract. It is. Let's just be honest. Before anything happens, it's the last big contract you're going to get. We know that. And the scenario, what I'm trying to compare he and AJ to, you know, big name guy, a hot commodity, sign on, and maybe he makes the kind of run that AJ did as a champion in WWE, have all the success as a main eventer. Just a comparison. But to have an offer on the table of $28 million in 5 years at the age of 35, if I'm Kenny Omega, I'm saying I'll see the dotted line and I'll see you in Stamford, Connecticut.
A lot of to digest with that. I had been told that the Kenny Omega offer was $3.5 million per year. That is also something that is all over the internet. To my knowledge, the WWE has 10 performers who make more than $1 million per year. If the WWE is offering Kenny Omega even $3.5 million per year, you've moved him into the top 10 of your payroll and probably the top 5 of your full-time staff payroll, because Brock and Cena and Triple H are all in that over $1 million a year category.
Ronda Rousey,
I think, is in that category as well.
It's got to be.
You're moving him in there, and if you look at the Kenny Omega profile, it really doesn't fit the Vince McMahon type of performer. And I get that the WWE has the money to buy whoever they want. They get the $2 billion over the next 5 years for both things, and I love Kenny Omega, but that doesn't fit what they do. That doesn't fit what Vince McMahon's profile is. Does Kenny Omega make the transition properly into a WWE style, and do they bring him in as a main eventer? Because remember, it took AJ Styles a few months to, and AJ Styles signed a 3-year contract for, it was $150,000 downside guarantee. Mm-hmm. So years later now, you're bringing in Kenny Omega for like 7 figures.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's a very over... He could go in seriously overrated here. That's a big problem for his status.
It's not that Kenny Omega's overrated. It's just Kenny Omega's style of performer doesn't necessarily fit what Vince McMahon usually promotes. So he's going to pay Brock Lesnar a lot of money. He's going to pay John Cena a lot of money. He's going to pay this performer. Like, AJ's downside, I think, was $150,000 his first year. He's probably blown way past that based on merchandise sales and house shows and this appearance and that. So I think he's in that $1 million club, but not on a guarantee.
No, exactly.
He just made it on merch and appearances and all that stuff.
Right.
So if you're telling me that Vince McMahon is guaranteeing Kenny Omega, you know, what's 28 divided by 5? No, that's wrong. Let's do that correctly. $5.6 million per year as a guarantee. Kenny Omega is stupid not to take that deal.
That's what I said. Sign the dotted line immediately.
Unless he is so into creating his own narrative, mm-hmm. For how he wants to be seen as a performer. And I don't think, I know New Japan Pro Wrestling gave Chris Jericho $1 million for limited dates.
And so probably looking at about 4 dates minimum, New Japan for Jericho, right? During the course of the year.
Yeah, he did a lot for them, and they were mainly surprises and things like that, but he did a lot of work for New Japan, even though it was a limited schedule. Right. I mean, that flight over there from Florida or Chicago or wherever he goes from.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, I was floored when I heard that dollar figure. I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is WWE, not the NFL, right?
And well, no, I mean, Mike, they have the money. They have the money.
No,
it's
do.
Just, to well, me, Kenny Omega being guaranteed that much money doesn't fit with the history of WWE.
No, and it's also, you know, maybe this is where the changing of the guard comes in with Triple H over a matter of time, the next 5 years. Maybe you can showcase him on strictly Raw or strictly SmackDown, one of the two, just one of them, that's it. Or you just make him the next main eventer and break all the records to holding a championship. There's so much possibility.
Well, Mike, the logic would be for them is they're going to be on Fox in September. They're getting $1 billion.
Yep.
And fans who watch New Japan Pro Wrestling on Access TV are used to seeing Kenny Omega on Friday nights.
Right. There you
so
go.
Now in the same way that WCW overpaid for Bret Hart, to have him be the franchise player of Thunder, of that Thunder show that they installed, maybe this is the logic of it. And
there
if Fox wants the more athletic style, this is how they justify paying that much money for this performer who doesn't fit their usual criteria for a franchise superstar.
Absolutely.
So a few things to follow up on that. One is, and to help support your intel, I've heard that the Bucks and Cody are getting $1 million each to run All Elite Wrestling. So that's $3 million in total from the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm-hmm. Meltzer had reported that WWE made a really strong offer to all three of them, but the money to all three of them wasn't close to what the Jaguars owner was offering. And also the fact that Cody and the Bucks wouldn't have the power that they do in WWE had they taken that offer. So the Jacksonville Jaguars owner paid them more and gave them creative control. We'll get to All Elite Wrestling in more detail in a little bit. But, you know, if he wants to go back to WWE, he's going to get the big money. He wants to win the Rumble and he wants a WrestleMania championship, and then he can turn that title sideways and stick it where Vince McMahon's polka dots are.
Yeah, whatever works for him. I mean, he's earned it. He certainly has.
So here's the other issue kind of with Kenny Omega going to the WWE. Mm-hmm. We always talk about like the common wrestling fan, right? Because the hardcores and there's a whole nother discussion about the hardcores and where the money is, and is the money in pro wrestling going to wear out eventually? Because it's such a small group of people and they're spending so much money on this current product. Eventually the credit card bill comes home and you got to pay it.
Right.
And eventually you're going to have the hardcore fan who can't afford to go to WrestleMania in Minnesota or who can't afford to go to WrestleMania in Los Angeles. They just can't, because unless you own your own business, you can't keep pouring out that kind of money.
Right.
So one of the issues with Kenny Omega going to WWE might be similar to, remember when Demolition were in place in WWF and then the Warriors came in?
Yep.
And the Road Warriors weren't as over because Demolition was the Road Warrior ripoff.
Right, right.
So now you have, if you add Kenny Omega, you have Kenny Omega's star and him actually there. But you have Finn Balor and Seth Rollins, who both already do Kenny Omega-like moves. So now you have to have Kenny Omega adapt and adjust because those moves are already spoken for.
Yeah, it's exactly. You got to find a way to change.
And he can do it. Don't get me wrong. Kenny Omega can adjust to any situation, and he can do it. But that's what Kenny Omega is dealing with. You know, take the money and run if that's really what you want to do. But I feel like Kenny Omega has this creative idea as to what he wants to do. And I don't know that WWE fits what he wants to do.
Well, maybe he's been given that green light to say, you call the shots. We'll let you do what you want to do here. And maybe that's part of the deal, too, how much they want him with all the money being thrown at him from what I'm being told here on the offer. So I don't know. That could be a possibility as well. But I think, to your point, to be on SmackDown for what they want, for more athleticism, it makes perfect sense. I mean, how do you not? How do you not take up on that opportunity right there? And how do you not showcase him on what eventually could be? I mean, it won't be the new flagship, but it could be.
No, SmackDown on Fox will be the main program that they have. Because you're talking about broadcast TV versus cable.
Secondary cable.
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
That's what they have to do. So they have to load up SmackDown and hope that the Friday night isn't the deterrent.
Right.
Because TV is still more important. It's not like every home in America has cable or full-fledged cable.
And let's be honest that Friday night TV is a joke. But this could really help generate the ratings for everything all around for Fox and WWE, big time.
Do you have anything else on Kenny Omega?
I'm very excited to see what his decision is going to be. I think we get a tug of war in the works here right now between WWE and AEW as well. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. But that dollar figure, I was just could not believe it, Jimmy.
So coming up next, we're going to talk about AEW, All Elite Wrestling. And if we have time, which based on the clock right now, we may not. But, Mike, we're the authority now in the WWE, and I have a question about booking procedures because I once again still haven't gotten my memo with my conference call information, but I'm more than happy to share an idea with the booking committee for WWE. So we'll do that next.
Hey, it's me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, WWE Hall of Famer. And when I'm in Boston, man, I listen to Inside the Ropes. It's unbelievable, baby.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike, the Young Bucks, Cody, and Brandi Rhodes, with the backing of NFL owner Tony Khan, announced the opening of All Elite Wrestling. The Young Bucks and Cody are all VIPs, and Brandi is a chief branding officer, which is the Stephanie McMahon title. We talked a few weeks ago about if we thought this type of venture could work, and there's a lot of rumors flying around. Mm-hmm. I have a ton of gossip on this. So I'm going to go gossip piece by gossip piece, and I want your reaction to it, Mike.
Let's hear it.
All right. First piece of gossip, and this is an important element. Not as important as it once was in life, but
sure.
Important.
Well, can I just say,
yes,
just
please
say real
do.
Quick before the gossip, I'm actually very excited about this, the AEW. I really am.
Oh, and I have some stuff that will get you more excited.
Ooh, all right. Well, just to preface it here.
Sure.
Competition is good, and I hope this does well. I really do. I wish them the best. So this is a good thing. So go ahead, Jimmy. Let's hear it.
All right. First piece of gossip.
Yep.
The most important thing, of course, is television.
Right.
Not as important as it once was because you have the internet and distribution, and they have their YouTube channel, and that does very well and all that stuff. So
yep.
WGN has been the highly speculated place, but there is a rumor that at least has been talked about in my circles.
Yep.
It's Turner Broadcasting. Turner Broadcasting, of course, is interesting because they had WCW for many years. And now for them to get back into airing a wrestling show, to me, would be fascinating. The major difference in this is that Turner wouldn't be fitting the bill for the company.
Right.
So if Turner has pro wrestling, this All Elite Wrestling can shoot to the number two spot in the wrestling world quicker than anybody expects. So, Mike, your thought on Turner Broadcasting possibly getting back into the wrestling world?
I think they're crazy not to. And you're going up with USA. And, you know, I know Impact had what, Spike TV, and that was kind of another secondary cable channel too. But TNT and TBS, very well known with cable, and it's a great opportunity for AEW to have the showcase there, because people actually do tune into TNT and TBS. Not saying they don't tune into Spike TV, but you have some sitcoms that are still on TNT, TBS. You have the NBA on TNT. You got Atlanta Braves baseball on TBS. It's a great opportunity for them, and if they don't take up on an opportunity with TNT and TBS, then I think they're in trouble. So hopefully it does go well for them.
Just want to stress that is gossip. That is not, that is just something that's been floating through my text messages.
But I got
another important thing here, Mike, is that there is history of wrestling on both TBS and TNT that,
well, actually in this guy too, by the way, Tony Khan does have connections with TNT and TBS. He's very close with some higher ups there.
So TBS and TNT both have history with wrestling. And there was a theory back in 01 when Vince McMahon bought WCW that the WCW viewer didn't go to WWE. That viewer just went away because they didn't like what Vince McMahon was offering for pro wrestling. So maybe with the fact that Turner Sports would be airing pro wrestling again, maybe that helps get some wrestling fans back.
And think about that, too. During the Monday Night Wars, that was probably the highest rated numbers they ever had in the history of the channel, without question.
Right. And some of that could be that the same viewer was clicking back and forth.
True. Very true.
But the numbers are there. The numbers were great. So this leads to the next piece of gossip that I have. Bill Goldberg started following all of the All Elite Wrestling social media accounts. If Turner TV is involved and an NFL owner has money to spend, Bill Goldberg, short term, coming in, it makes a lot of sense to me. Mike, Bill Goldberg.
TNT guy, former headliner there for Monday Nitro for quite a few years. I think they're crazy not to take him. He's already a Hall of Famer. He's got that Atlanta base, more or less, if you want to even sprinkle in a little more there. Go for it. He could be, you know, not Stone Cold Steve Austin of it, but it's the name. It is the name, Bill Goldberg.
So if Bill Goldberg comes in, Chris Jericho, who just lost the IWGP Intercontinental Championship at Wrestle Kingdom, might be another name that's attached to All Elite Wrestling. He did the run-in for All In. He's friends with all these guys. The Bucks and Cody did his cruise. Jericho is a huge free agent right now and really has good relationships with everybody. So if you're talking about a major program that could get some of the WWF, WCW fans interested, why not play off of the history of Chris Jericho and Bill Goldberg? Also worth, from my own point of view, I had doubts about Jericho's drawing power. I was wrong. He draws big. He would be an impact move for All Elite Wrestling. And if you matched him up with Bill Goldberg, that is a short-term big program that you can play into their history. Mike, your thoughts on Chris Jericho?
Yeah, again, another big-name guy, main eventer. He draws the name. When you get two guys like that with Goldberg and Y2J, it's only going to generate more ratings.
And so the other note about Jericho is that he's a free agent, so he could be in play for a WWE return, surprise entrant at the Rumble, WrestleMania possibility. I've heard that there might be a program with Okada or, you know, the All Elite Wrestling. But Chris Jericho, as a free agent, has a lot of different options here. And he's a draw, and that's just, that's a fact. He's a bigger draw, than I had given him credit for.
Yeah. He's in a great position right now.
So I stress that Goldberg and Jericho are short term draws, but the rest of this All Elite roster is really good. You have Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks. You have Cody. You have Hangman Page. You have Ring of Honor, SoCal Uncensored, Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky. I assume that when they become available, you know, Kenny Omega is a huge wild card that we discussed. Marty Scurll, the villain, he's under a longer-term Ring of Honor contract, so he might not be in there as soon as possible, and he may or may not win the fake Ring of Honor championship at Madison Square Garden. But that's a pretty good start to a roster. How do you feel about those names and that roster, at least to start?
Not bad, especially if you get Goldberg and Y2J in there. It's only going to generate more. And you have those guys fight them and give them a chance to put the young guys over, work a couple angles with them. It's only going to get even better. And, you know, Jimmy, I actually did print out from what I saw the contracts that were coming up this year. And, you know, I know we mentioned, I was touching before the comparison with Omega and AJ Styles. We've talked about it numerous times here before, but AJ Styles' contract comes up in April 2019.
It's up in April. Okay. I'm glad somebody found this out because I had gotten crickets on this.
I got April of 2019.
So that would be after WrestleMania this year.
Right. So,
because I assume that he signed through WrestleMania because they wouldn't have him not be.
And also, from what I'm hearing, Kevin Owens is not happy behind the scenes, even though he's out injured.
He has a 5-year contract.
I know, April 2023. But who's to say that they're not going to buy him? I don't know.
But in fairness, in the Kevin Owens situation, they're not buying out Kevin Owens.
No.
In the Kevin Owens situation, he has kind of a right to be frustrated.
Of course.
Because he's a main event player who, after his match with Chris Jericho at WrestleMania in Orlando, Vince McMahon told him it was the worst match he had ever seen.
Yeah.
Which I 100% disagree with.
No, I'm saying that's a bad thing to have happen to you.
And then later on, Vince McMahon does a program with Kevin Owens.
Right.
And Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon do the thing with Daniel Bryan.
Right.
Kevin Owens is your best talker, arguably, in the company, who's not named Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin Owens, when he comes back, should have a top spot in the WWE. Yeah. But this is a little bit of a side topic to all that. But Kevin Owens is loved by so many. He's loved by so many other performers in the wrestling world. So
yeah, and another one on WWE that the contract comes up in April is Nakamura. So
they must have gotten extensions. Because they had both signed around the same time around with Gallows and Anderson, and they were three-year deals.
I don't have their contract, but it's probably maybe another year on them too, Gallows and Anderson.
Because I believe that they all four of those signed at about the same time.
Yeah, 2016.
But it makes sense that they would be signed through WrestleMania. So
right, yeah. So I could see that happening very easy.
So that's kind of all that I have for gossip on that end. To me, what will be interesting, and it will be a story that won't really be played up, but how Nick and Matt Jackson and Cody make decisions, and if they're truly one unit in booking and handling wrestlers. I think they'll handle it well, but I do have concerns about how all three view pro wrestling. So file this under something to keep an eye on.
Another thing to keep an eye on, too.
Sure.
One more thing. When you have a wrestling match, when you have the wrestlers out there in the squared circle, you need someone to tell the story, right? So don't be surprised if Jim Ross makes the jump to AEW because his contract is up in March with WWE.
Yeah, so, and Jim has talked on his podcast about kind of that speculation and how this company doesn't even have stationery yet. So it's a little hard to talk about what they could offer him. At least this is kind of how he's presented it. But what I will tell you is that if they get Jim Ross, then that way that gets them Fight TV, which
yes,
they would probably have anyway, because I believe JR is an investor in it.
Yep,
and I believe Conrad Thompson is somewhat of a Cody Rhodes investor.
Yeah, he's got something to do with it.
So they have some investors, but what I would say is Jim Ross should be more talent relations than I think he should be as far as a play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a better spot for Jim Ross at this point. Which is interesting because who do you get to do the commentary on it? And maybe you start out with Jim Ross there and you have whoever you think is the next guy.
Well, the it's funny you said that too, Jimmy, because Mauro Ranallo's contract with WWE is up in June. So there you go. The domino effect right there.
And Mauro would be awesome.
Be fantastic.
Mauro can do whatever he wants.
Yep.
He should be the voice of the WWE, but...
Yep.
And I know that, I shouldn't say this, but I will anyway. I know that Vince McMahon is not a fan of Mauro's work.
Well, that's Vince's loss.
Which Mauro's I 100% awesome. Agree with.
Yeah. Ronaldo's awesome.
Vince's vision, as far as I understand it, is he wants his announcer to be above being a fan of the product. And Mauro's too much of a fan of the product. And it shows in NXT. And that to me is disappointing because you can... As we've said with Mean Gene Okerlund on this episode, as we've said with Jim Ross in previous episodes, they make you emotionally invest as opposed to here's what's trending on Twitter. Here's what's doing this. Oh, and by the way, you can work all of that in and your announcer can have passion for what he's seeing in the ring and really personally invest in these wrestlers and these superstars.
Yeah. And that is 100%. What AEW needs right off the bat, because they need to attract that audience. They need those guys to have the fan in them to grab you flipping through the channels and have the emotion like a JR, like a Mauro Ranallo, to tell you the story, but also be one of you at home on the couch as a fan. That's what they need.
You know, just thinking out loud, maybe they end up signing Sean Mooney. Because Sean Mooney was really good as a standing announcer. He's got the podcast. He did Conrad's Fan Fest. There are so many connections here. So,
I'm excited.
There's a lot of good gossip. I hope they make it to the point where they get a television deal, and I hope that this promotion, as we both want more out of our promotion. So,
yeah, absolutely,
it's all good. Mike, any follow ups any and all of that gossip? Because that was a lot of stuff.
It was a lot. And just to touch on some of the things, like I said, you know, with the contracts coming up, there was a Twitter question to us on our Twitter page. We'll ask it. That's our question of the week at WrestleCast985 from our good friend Lauren. Lauren asks this week, who should leave WWE and sign with AEW? Who would be your top choice, Jimmy?
I would probably say Mike Bennett.
You know, I'm so glad you said that. I was also...
I mean, I don't think they are, but I would probably say that Mike and Maria would be tremendous to leave there and go there. And because they're doing good stuff on 205 Live, but I think Mike and Maria are just so much better. They're better talents than are being utilized right now in WWE.
Very underutilized, very much so. I was going to say Donovan Dijak. But he is starting to get that push now on NXT.
He's
going to
be a star.
I know. But I'm just saying, if they don't push him within the next year, go ahead and make the jump.
There's probably another name that I'm not thinking of. But, of course, my bias is to and see this. We got chirped a small digression here, right?
Yeah.
We got chirped on Twitter about how we handle women wrestling and talking about women wrestling, and it's one person. It shouldn't bother me, but it kind of does.
Well, you know, he also doesn't listen to this podcast.
Well, you know what? It's fine, but it bothered me. So,
all right, let's hear it. Go ahead.
I treat my wrestlers like I treat my sports teams. Mm-hmm. So, if cheering for Charlotte or Becky or Asuka or Carmella or Sasha Banks or Bayley or any of that comes off as creepy, then yes, I'm guilty as charged. I'm a creep because I cheer for the wrestlers that I like. So that's, unfortunately, that's how this person wants to perceive how I talk about pro wrestling, how I talk about female wrestlers. That's on them. That's their problem.
I agree. And you know what? Shame on them for even critiquing a scenario like that when they don't listen to this very successful podcast here, which we've done for almost a year now. And for them to take a shot at how we perceive female superstars and put them out there and, you know, make put them on this platform without even listening to our content, that's their loss. So if I was PO'd at first, but to find out he didn't listen to it, see you later, dude. Take a walk.
So I do that because I wanted to buy some time for the Google machine to load up.
Love it.
The other name that I would like to see get an opportunity for a singles run, and if it happens to be with the All Elite Wrestling, Cesaro. I've been a huge fan of Claudio Castagnoli, and I know I butchered that last name, but I would love to see him in a main event, high-profile position as a singles wrestler, whether it be in WWE or whether it be in another promotion.
I'll give you two more.
Please
I'll
do.
Give me two more. Zack Ryder, you saw his tweets this week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, the tweets talking about how he was not on Monday Night Raw. And also, someone that was under the radar, especially in 2018, but really successful with the police skits in 2017, Fandango.
Ah, local guy.
Yeah.
Big fan of the Sports Hub, from my understanding.
Yes, it is. So give some love to Maine, too.
In fact, he might have told me that.
All right. Oh, I remember that. I do remember that.
Yes, yes, yes. You were there for that.
Yep, that's right, yeah.
That would probably be, you know, Mike Bennett, Maria, Cesaro. I'm just kind of looking through the roster here as to who I think could be used in a better way. Well, Kevin Owens should be back as a main eventer. Fandango's awesome.
The Mike Bennett thing, you know, that just gives you the possibility to be reunited with Matt Taven.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm too close to that, so I'm not going to say anymore.
Okay. Well, I'll just leave it at that. You know,
Johnny Gargano's doing good stuff in NXT. Ciampa's doing good stuff in NXT.
I mean, so Mojo Rawley. Anywhere.
No. Go away.
Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn is awesome, but I think he signed a long term extension. I think his deal matches with Kevin Owens. That's all speculation.
Check that out.
I think Cesaro and the Bennetts. I think those are my two answers. Good question, Lauren.
Yeah, Lauren's awesome. We love you, Lauren.
Okay. So, sorry, I was scanning off of my Google and I minimized my notes. So, Mike, do you want to let's wrap up with this? And I will go very quickly on this. We talked about how we are now the authority of WWE. I still haven't had my conference call, but I know that some people from WWE listen to this podcast. So I'm going to give them some free advice here, and I think you should too.
Yeah, let's go.
So we're into Royal Rumble season, and this is where everybody really makes their money. So, Mike, if you had the actual ability to put one program together – or push one superstar to the main event of WrestleMania, or push them to a more prominent position in the WWE, who would it be? And a quick synopsis of how you would do it. Mike, I'll answer my own question first. I want Samoa Joe to beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania in New York. I had originally started when I thought of this question of putting together the scenario for John Cena's chase for Championship 17. But at the end of the day, I want Samoa Joe to get a victory over Brock Lesnar and become the Universal Champion. And for me, it's a really simple story to tell. Joe is a believable challenger to Brock Lesnar. He's over with the SmackDown crown. And it's a really simple path for Samoa Joe. He's an entrant in the Royal Rumble match. He wins the Royal Rumble. And he goes on to announce that he's challenging Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. Maybe it begins as Braun Strowman because Braun Strowman beats Brock at the Royal Rumble. But between now and WrestleMania, between the Royal Rumble loss and WrestleMania, Brock would get it back. Bottom line is Joe versus Brock for the Universal Championship at WrestleMania. They can have a similar style match as Brock and Joe had a few years ago, or Brock and Goldberg had. 7 minutes, hard hitting, violent, but Joe goes over clean in the middle with his version of the sleeper hold. Joe is a made main eventer, and you can go forward now with a real heavy hitting heavyweight champion who has some vulnerability because he's not at the level of Brock Lesnar, but he's also not such a dominant. He's not overly dominant where if AJ Styles or Daniel Bryan beats him, it's not believable. The issue with Samoa Joe is he'll be 40 years old by the time WrestleMania happens in April. Brock Lesnar, when he beat Your Undertaker, was 38. AJ Styles is currently 41 years old. So I don't think that Vince would put any championship on a 40-year-old Samoa Joe, whether it be the WWE or the Universal. He might put an Intercontinental or U.S. title, but I don't think he would put the main championship on Samoa Joe, at least at this point. We think that the WrestleMania plan is Seth Rollins wins the Royal Rumble and beats Brock for the Universal Championship in New York at WrestleMania, and maybe we end up with a Daniel Bryan versus Samoa Joe title match, but there's a hole in that. They're both villains. But I guess my main point here is I love Samoa Joe. I love his work. And whatever I could do to get him a run with either the Universal Championship or the WWE Championship would be super cool to me.
I like that, Jimmy. He deserves it too. Really does.
Do you have something that can replicate that scenario? Because I know you won't beat it, but you'll...
Yeah, that's a tough one to top. But, you know, I thought about this more after our year in review for 2018. And, you know, we did hear Vince McMahon say it on the Christmas Eve episode of Monday Night Raw that it's official. The women's tag team titles were coming in 2019. And all indications are that Sasha Banks and Bayley will be the new champions, or they will be a champion at some point for the tag team titles. I really like the work and the tension of the buildup that we had last summer between those two there, which we never ended up seeing them fight one-on-one. I think it's a great scenario to have them have a good run as the tag team champs, put that over, and then at some point, one of them officially turn on each other, and that sets up a match between both of them. Specifically, if you're going to have Ronda Rousey on Raw, then you put one of them, you put them both on SmackDown, where they could legitimately fight for that brand's championship. So get them off the same show as Ronda and put them in the championship category for bragging rights as to who is better, Sasha or Bayley, and officially have the turn happen when they are the tag team champions. Similar to what Dean Ambrose did to Seth Rollins the night where Roman Reigns had the cancer announcement. So I think that would be very beneficial building up to WrestleMania. Tag team titles maybe debut with the Royal Rumble and then have a breakup before Mania. Have your match there. There you go.
Would you make the women's tag team championships exclusive to one brand?
I think it's probably going to happen that way, and yeah, I think you got to give it a Raw.
Because I don't know that you have enough.
No, you don't.
You probably do, but I feel like it would be a little forced if you had two sets. In the same way that I have a developing opinion for the main event of WrestleMania, and that is you have a scenario where Becky wins the Royal Rumble, Charlotte beats Asuka at the Royal Rumble, wins the SmackDown Women's Championship. Ronda Rousey is the Raw Women's Championship. Becky wins the Rumble, challenges both in a winner-take-all for the Raw and SmackDown Women's Championship. And in the short term, Becky does both shows. Now, is that watering down Becky a little bit by having her do both shows? It might be. But she's hot enough right now where she could probably handle it.
Totally.
But in doing so, eventually, the idea is you're transitioning the women's championship to one show.
Well, and that's the thing. You're right.
And you eventually could do the single women's championship on one show and the tag team women's championships on the other show.
That makes sense, yeah. But I think for now, if they are going to go the route of having two tag team titles for the women's division on each show, you started on one, you started on Raw. It's a three-hour program. Give it a little test there. And then similar to what they did with SmackDown, they did give that women's championship about a month after the brand, see how it goes, and then you throw it on thereafter. So I think that's the best-case scenario.
Mike, any closing thoughts?
Good start to 2019 here, and really enjoyed all of the content we covered this week. And we are now officially on the road to the Royal Rumble, where things are only going to heat up here in 2019.
A lot of good gossip this week. And each week you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in the Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. I am on Twitter at IamJamesStewart. And this week's episode's final words go to Mean Gene Okerlund. This clip is from the end of his 2006 WWE Hall of Fame speech.
And in closing, finally, I'd like to say this. If one day I'm called up to the big house, if I'm called, they'll have a funeral. I want you to bury me face down. And then all of my critics can kiss my ass.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.